Today's daf is daf test. We got to the very bottom of Ches Amud Beis, the last two lines. Gemara says, "Amar Abaye." Abaye says, "Ruvain shemachar sadeh l'Shimon. Ruvain sells his field to Shimon, shelo b'achrayos, without any responsibility. Meaning, if the Baal Chov of Ruvain takes away the land from Shimon, Ruvain has no obligations to pay back Shimon. That was the deal that Shimon was willing to take, and he bought the land from Ruvain that way. And then goes along v'yatza, going on to daf test. V'yatza lav asikin. What's asikin? Says Rashi in the top. Orin Lomar Shlanu, people said, what are you talking, Shimon, how are you taking that field? It's actually our field. So now the halacha is, Ad Shel Hichzik Ba, before Shimon makes a chazaka on this purchase, so Yachal Achzor Ba, he could retract. He says, wait a second, I'm not getting involved in any field that there's a machlokas who owns it, so he's allowed to walk out of the deal. But Misha Hichzik Ba, the moment Shimon makes a chazaka on the field and the acquisition is final, Ein Yachal Achzor Ba, it's too late, and Shimon is not allowed to Bichozer, my time, what's the reason? Damerle, because Reuven says to Shimon, Chaisa de Katri, a bag, like an empty bag, a tied up bag, Savas Vakablis. You accepted it, says Rashi, the top line. Chaisa de Kitri, Sak Kishura Malirach. Listen, you bought an empty bag, and too bad for you, and you accepted. You should have done the research, you should have done a title search of some sort. You didn't. Too bad for you. Then the Gemara says, Meimas have a chazaka. So when's a chazaka? When does that create? When's the deal final? Michi daish a mitzri. When the purchaser, when the lokeach Shimon walks along the, does that final walkthrough. Probably a little different now in American terms, but he does that final walkthrough and looks at all the borders of the property. That's the chazaka of the property. Now I imagine this chi daish a mitzri takes place actually after they transfer the money and the contracts. But either way, that's what he walks along the borders. But dafka shelo b'achrayos, this is only true when Reuven doesn't sell it b'achrayos. He sells it to him, and Shimon doesn't expect anything to happen. Reuven has no responsibility. Aval, but if b'achrayos lo, if Reuven sells it with achrayos, saying that if the land gets confiscated, I will compensate you, then the halacha is he is able to be chozer even after he retracts. Because if, let's say, he doesn't retract, so Shimon loses the land, so then Shimon goes ahead and has to collect money from Reuven. So too, instead of just waiting through the whole process, Shimon could just back out of the entire deal, and then the deal is done. Vigadami, others say, afilu b'achrayos. Even if Reuven does sell b'achrayos, and he says, if your land gets confiscated, I'll compensate you. Still, once a chazaka takes place, Shimon cannot be chozer, even though there's achrayos, because Reuven's going to say, De'amarle achoy tirfach v'ashem l'cha, show me that your land's been taken away, and then I'll pay you back. Just because there's asikin, just because there's orim, doesn't mean anything's actually going to happen. Deal with that complaint. If they go ahead and confiscate your land, then come running after me for the money. But until that happens, once the deal is complete, let's leave it as is.
In all cases, he can always go back and collect if he has other nechasim, right?
In all cases.
Even without achrayos.
No, if there's no achrayos, then the Shimon has no claim on Reuven.
No tain at all.
Shimon made a bad deal. Who would ever buy land whenever you buy land, you go through the title search and make sure nothing's been there, and if you find that there's some information that you didn't know that's built into the deal, that's undone. That's achrayos. Shimon made a bad deal. He was willing to sign a contract that didn't have that responsibility. That's what he signed, and it's tough luck for him.
So he just loses the whole thing.
Yeah, he loses it for him. Okay, Gemara now says, Rav Huna Amar O Kesef O Meitav. When a person's paying back damage, he's able to pay either with money or metav sadeo, the best of the land. Nothing in between. Money or land. Esve, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna. Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna based on what we've seen before. Yashiv, what does Yashiv mean? Lerabos shavakesef vafilu subin. You are allowed to pay things other than money and other than property. You could pay even subin, even the brand you're allowed to pay. So the Gemara says, Halcha b'mayaskinan b'dileslei. We're talking about a case where there is no kesef and there is no sados, then you can play shava kesef afilu subim. But when he has money and he has land, that's the first place of a collection. Only when he doesn't have it, then you could fall back on yashiv l'rabos shava kesef afilu subim. So Gemara says, "Idileslei pshita." Of course, if he doesn't have money and he doesn't have property, of course he's able to pay with anything else he could pay with. What's the need for a pasuk? So Gemara says, Mal the same, what would you have thought? Amrin and Lay, we say to the Mazik, Zeal, go out, Tarach, Vizavin, go sell your Subin, go sell all your brand, the IC Lay, Kasif, and go bring money. Kamashman, he doesn't have to do that. So again, Mikra didn't, when a guy has to pay for Nezek, he has to pay either money or property. But if he doesn't have any of that, then he's allowed to pay from anything else he has. There was a half a minute to think, take whatever he has, any brand, any kalim, go out and sell it, go to the market, collect all the money that you need from selling your metallic, and then pay the money. Kamashman, no, you don't have to do that. It's enough to pay. If there's nothing else, you could pay with anything left in your property. So Amar Rav Asi, Rav Asi says, Ksafim harehein kikarka. He has this rule, he states, a statement, that money is like karka. What does it mean, money is like karka? So he says, L'mai hilch, so with regards to which halacha, is he saying, Ksafim harehein kikarka. Ilei melin in metav, if it means, with regards to metav, that they could be equally used to pay Hainu de Rav Huna. That's exactly what Rav Huna says. He says, okay, so metav. So what's Rav Asi coming to add on to Rav Huna? Ella must be l'shnei achim shechalku. Two brothers have divided the Yerusha of their father. V'natul echad karka, echad ksafim. One guy took all the real estate, and one took all the money, all the cash. Now what happens, ba balchov, the father's balchov comes along, v'natul karka, takes away the real estate. He had a lien on the real estate, takes the real estate away. Da'azil hai v'shakil palga b'ksafim b'hadei. So now the guy who just lost his real estate goes over to his brother and takes half the money. So now at the end of the day, they have an equal portion of what's ever left of the Yerusha. So Gemara said, Pshita, of course. Hai bro, hai la brohu? Of course. Well, one guy, they're both brothers. One guy's a brother, one guy's not a brother. Of course, they both deserve an equal portion in the Yerusha. So that's why that makes sense. So the Gemara says, Ikadami, others say, Adiraba. No, the opposite should be true. Le'idachki, so the other way, the other direction. Damalei, Lahachi Shakli Ksafim. That's why I took the cash. Dimaganvi lo mishtamina minach. What's he saying here? Let's look at Rashi. Where did Rashi go? There's no Rashi. He says, the reason why I took the money is because Dimaganvi, if they collect from me, or get stolen from me, lo mishtamina minach, I can't pay from you. Ulahachi shaklis ara, and you took the land, the metarfa, because if it gets taken from you, lo mashamin lacha, I don't have to pay you. I mean, there's a disadvantage in either one.
There is a risk both ways.
Exactly. The risk in having cash is that the cash could get stolen. Right. Land can't get stolen. The risk in land is it might be a lien. That's why I made the deal. So you have no claim on me. You took the land, I took the cash. So you, too bad. Your land has been taken away. Midiminai, fine. Ella, so that can't be the case. So what's the case of when we say ksafim is kakarka?
So this is the halacha, basically.
That seems to be the halacha, exactly. And so that can't be the case where we say ksafim is kakarka.
He cannot go back and get...
Correct. So Ella, so what's the case where Rav Asi says ksafim harehen kakarka? It must be Ella l'shnei achim shechalku. Two brothers that divide the land. Uba balchov v'natel chelko she'echamehem. Balchov takes the property of one of them. So how do they split the property up in this way? So they split the land, Rashi says. The chalka b'karka. One takes this half of the real estate, the other one takes the other half of the real estate. And then, just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Uba balcho v'natal chelik ha'echad. Dimishalim lo ha'echer chatzi chelko, o karka, o misalik le bezuze. V'hainu harein karka, dimatzi misalik le bezuze kibakarka. So, what happens is that he goes to collect some property from Reuven and some property from Shimon. Now Shimon pays him off and says, I don't want you to take my property away. Here's some money. And that will satisfy the Baal Chov. But Reuven ends up losing his property entirely. That's the case. So Shimon still has his karka. So now what goes on is the Gemara says, now what do you do? V'ha Amra Ravasi Chad Zimna. Didn't he already say this once before? Ditmar, it says, Ha'achim Shechalku, the brothers who divide the property, Uba Balcho V'Natel Chelko She'echamim, and he takes one of them, Rav Amar Batla Machlokes. The entire Chalukah is Batel. You have to redo the entire Chalukah. You put it back into the pot. So again, let's say there are two properties. There's A and B. So A goes to Reuven, B goes to Shimon. B gets confiscated by the Balchov. So now A, Reuven owns A exclusively. So the halacha is, according to Rav, you mevatel the chaluka, you take A now, put it back in the pot, and split A between A, half one, and half A is going to Reuven, half of the other half of A goes to Shimon. That's according to Rav. But then comes along Rav Shmuel Amar Viter. Viter means the guy loses out, too bad, it's his mazel. Reuven took A, Shimon took B, and B was taken, too bad, bad mazel for Shimon. But then Rav Asi Amar, notel revia bakarka, revia b'maos. No. You take a quarter of the land and the quarter of the money. What does this mean?
Here there was, this is not the divided karka. They divided the whole Yerusha.
Both karka and kesef, right. I guess.
In half to. And half.
Right.
So the Balchov came and took the karka from one of them and not the kesef.
Exactly, because he only has rights to the karka.
Right,
he can't collect the kesef.
Right.
So what happens is, so you return, so now Reuven, who, nothing was taken from Reuven, so he gives Revi'a b'karka and Revi'a b'maos, a quarter.
He has to, or this is like...
I think he has to. Look at Rashi. Rashi's Revi'a b'karka. Yach shelo Revi'a chelko, o karka o maos. He returns a quarter of it now. Either money,
right.
or karka. So why? What's the idea here? He doesn't pay the full, a half amount. I mean, right now, there's only A left. You would think he should pay half of A. But he only has to pay actually a quarter of A. The Gemara will explain why that is. Right? According, again, he's somehow a hybrid. According to, again, Rav, you give half, 50% away. Shmuel, you give nothing away. And Rav Asi, as a hybrid, you give a quarter away. Somewhere in the middle. So the Gemara will explain each opinion now. Let's see. So according to Rav, Amar Batla Machlokes, Rav says the entire Chalukah is Batel. And you have to give back 50% to your brother. Kesavar ha'achim shechalku ki yorshim havu. When brothers divide property, they're viewed as yorshim.
You skipped,
I think. Did I skip?
Shmuel amar viter.
Yeah, I did that already.
No, we're in the next.
So Rav says, but the chaluka, because kesavar ha'achim shechalku, brothers who split up the property, no, is ki yorshim havu.
He's above that.
They're like yorshim.
Rabam, here.
And they're both, it says Rashi, Kiyorshim Damu Vashem Lifroa. Hokach Machzis Chelko Yachshalo. They're viewed as Yorshim. They're viewed as inheritors of their father. So both in their property and also in the debt. So just because they collected Shimon's property, Reuven was just as responsible as Shimon was to pay back the debt. So that's why half goes back. Really, half should be taken from Reuven. That's why Rav Paskins that way. You're Mevata the Chaluka, and then you redo it. Shmuel Amar Viter. Shmuel says no. Unfortunately, Shimon loses out. His property was bad mazel for him. Why? Because he holds kesavar ha'achim ha'achim shechalku lekuchos. They're viewed as purchasers, and ukulokeach shel bachrayos dami. They bought from each other. So Shimon bought from Reuven the property, and he bought it without achrayos. So when Shimon loses property to the Bachov, Reuven has no achrayos. He has no responsibility to pay back Shimon, and it's bad mazel for Shimon.
So it's not like Yerusha.
Exactly. That's a machlokas,
right,
whether
basically the use is broken and becomes like a mecca.
Independent, yeah. Exactly. Independent people.
Right.
No connection.
Over.
Exactly. Right. And then comes Rav Asi says, Amar Notel Revi'a b'karka, Revi'a b'karka. B'mesapkele. Rav Asi is not really sure. I k'yorshim damu. I k'kuchos damu. He's not sure if they're like Yerushos, in which case 50% should go back to Shimon, or like kuchos and 0% should go back. Hilchach, therefore, he takes a pshara, he compromises and says, no to Revi'a b'karka or Revi'a b'mamal. So you give a quarter back.
In this case, we don't say Hamotzi Mechavra
Lavarai.
Because he has the doubt, not the person, right?
Exactly, because it's a doubt in Din.
In Din, not in what happened in
Metzias.
Does it make an afkamin if he's a Bechor?
If he's a Bechor and he has Del Parshin.
And then he has to pay back, he also has the Chil.
Lechor, it should be. I don't know how the calculation would work, but yeah, I guess if Ruim would have double portion, so he should still, I guess, yeah, if...
Responsible.
Yeah, the same halach would apply. I mean, let's say you say Vitar, so Shimon loses out. Nothing to talk about. But let's say you assume that they're Yerushim. So yes, yeah, so let's say Reuven has two lands and Shimon has only one land. So a total of three lands. So now Shimon's one land gets thrown away, so now you take the two lands, put it back in the pot, and now you give that, you split up 2/3 of the two go to Reuven and 1/3 goes to Shimon, if you follow the math.
It's interesting. Here it says that lehalacha, the Toveya cannot ask for one from one person.
He can choose.
He should have half of each one.
So how did this happen then?
So it happened that the father told him that he specifically has to take it from this field.
An apotiki.
And this field, right, happened to have fallen to this person.
Uh-huh.
As a concern.
And they didn't know about this.
Right. And they didn't know about this.
Right. Okay. Uh-huh. So that's his luck.
Yeah, that's his bad luck. Because normally he should go to each one.
And say, take me half and half.
Yeah.
Okay, now, so the Gemara says, in the end of the day, though,
Elamai harehin
kikarka, linin metav. So what does that mean? That when we say ksafim is like karka with respect to metav. The Gemara says it means harein kakarklin metav. What it means is kesef is just like karka with regards to metav, meaning when you pay back for nizikin, you could pay with kesef or with karka, whatever you choose. So the Gemara said that was the point in the beginning. We said ihachi. If that's the case, that's exactly how I knew the Rav Huna. That's what Rav Huna said, that o kesef o metav. So what's Rav Nachman adding or Rav Asi adding on here? So Gemara says no. Ema v'chein am Rav Asi. Now Rav Asi is saying something new, and Rav Asi also says, just like Rav Huna, that you could pay nizikin whether it be from ksafim or whether it be from meitav sadeu. Gemara now says a very famous piece of Gemara here. Amar Rav Zeir, Amar Rav Huna b'mitzvah ad shlish. Completely different topic about how much does a person need to spend for hiddur mitzvah. When it comes to mitzvah, you pay up until a third of the mitzvah for hiddur mitzvah. Beyond that, we don't pay. What does that mean, up until a third? My shlish. When you pay a third for hiddur mitzvah. Ilei mishlish beso, you pay a third of whatever you have. So then, elamiyat, if that's the case, if you have three mitzvahs, you're going to pay your entire amount. The guy has $99,000 in his bank account, so $33,000 for the first mitzvah, and $33,000 for the next, and $33,000 for the third, he's got nothing left. That obviously is not the case. So what does it mean a third of the mitzvah? So Gemara says, El Amar of Zera, behider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah, meaning you pay a third of the amount of the actual esrog to increase it. So let's say the esrog costs, a typical one is $60, so you pay a third of that, $20 extra, you pay up until $80 for hiddur mitzvah. Beyond that, you don't have to pay for a hiddur mitzvah. That's what, now there's a machlokas that this is referred to, is a third referring to the value, or that's the next machlokas. But is a third referring to the value of it, what I just said, the value, or Tosa says it refers to the size. So let's say an esrog is, I don't know, this big, so you could buy one that's a third of that bigger, because that's going to seemingly be related somehow to the price as well. But to go a third larger in size, you don't have to go further than that.
Is it a chiyuv, or is it like a
mitzvah minimufcha? It's a mitzvah minimufcha. There is no chiyuv at all. It's certainly not ma'akiv. It's not a chiyuv. It's a hit the mitzvah. It's a nice thing to do. But it's not a chiyuv.
It's mebar, he should be spending 90, not
80. Exactly. I was giving the example the way we think in math. But
right.
Mara has a little, for us, backwards way of thinking. So right, let's look at what the Gemara asks now. Your question, by Rav Ashi, how do you calculate the one third? Is it shlish milagav or shlish milabar? From the inside or from the outside? I gave the example of $60, so a third is $20. That's $80. But if it's milabar, meaning you take a third at the end, so you need to get $90 at the end, which means you add $30. $30 is a third of the end game of the $90, as opposed to a third of the beginning point. Do you go from the beginning point, or do you go from the end point? So if the initial esrog costs $60,
yeah.
So milagav means you take a third of the initial $60, which would be $20. Or you do milabar, you do a third of what the total will be.
Meaning so from the 80?
From, well, which now has to be a 90. You have to get
90.
Whatever's being added on, that surplus, that third, has to be a third of the end result, not a third of the beginning $60.
The end result is 80, because 60 plus
but
third that's,
but
you only, is
80. But $20, the added $20 is not a third of 80. So you need to add a third to get to a
add
sum.
Third of 80 first.
Wow, what a calculation.
So I'm saying,
yeah, but you have to know that when the Torah says Hamishito Yosef Alav, when you pour something, it's always like this. It's always milibar. It's always from the top.
So,
meaning, so the original price plus the 20 from that, from the total, is the...
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So, okay. So the Gemara says now, so what's the answer? Milgavul o milbar. Take, Gemara does have an answer. B'ma Rav in the West, Amri Mishmei the Rebbe Yizera, they said in the name of Rebbe Yizera, Ad Shlish Mishalo, Mikam Eilach Mishal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Up until a Shlish is all yours, beyond that it's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So it says Rashi says, Ad Shlish Mishalo, Dehainu also Shlish Sheyosef Behidah Mitzvah, that third that you added on, Mishalohu, Sheinu Nifralo B'chayev. He does not get, that's not taken off his cheshbon. That's his own. That's a gift to him, a free pass. Kedamrinan hayom lasosam v'lo hayom litoschar. But mikam ve'elach, mash Yosef behider Yosef al-shlish. The guy pays more than a third. Yifra lo kadosh baruch b'chai. That is taken off his cheshbon. That person's going beyond. You shouldn't be mevazes.
Right.
You shouldn't pay so much money for that. A guy can if he wants.
Well,
he's certainly allowed to.
It would seem as that it's a good thing, but it's not. Right?
See, to go above and beyond is not good. No?
Exactly, it does not good, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It could be it's being read also as follows, as he's receiving payment. Maybe the other way around could be read here. I'm looking at the Masifta. It's a little bit different than Rashi, it seems. That when he pays the first shlish, he doesn't get payment. There's no schar and shemayim for this. But if he's willing to go beyond that and pay more, then he actually does get schar and shemayim for it.
Right, but I would think that he should get schar even for the
no matter what.
Yeah.
Right.
How do they say it in the article? You know, the article all you do. They say. Sounds like the second way that I said, that you get schar in this world and you get schar in the next world. It sounds like from Rashi, you're being...
So it seems that the first third, you only gets Char Olam Haba. And if he spends more, he gets Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba.
Right, that's what it sounds like from Tosfos. I'm not sure if Rashi says the same thing, though.
Right.
Rashi sounds like you're getting paid, it's taken away from you.
Right, Rashi, that's the first shot.
That's what I think, unless I'm misreading this Rashi, but I think so. Okay. Fine, the new Mishnah tells us now. Mishnah says, this is a very tricky Mishnah the way it's read. Kol shechavti b'shmiraso. Anybody who's chayv because of lack of shmira, or is chayv to really, chayv l'shmor, rather, he has an obligation to watch and guard over something. Hechsharti is nizki, which means if he didn't do the proper thing, he was machshir himself, he didn't do proper shmira, he was machshir himself to pay the nezek. Now let's say, hechsharti b'miksas, if he, let's say, protected, watched it only partially, nizko, his mazik, he only watched it over a little bit. Chavti b'tashlumei nizko, he's a chayv to pay kechsher kol nizko. So if he did a partial guard, it's as if he didn't do anything. It's either all or nothing. You either do a shmir or don't do a shmir. There's no such thing as a half shmir.
He let the door open. Never.
Right. Exactly. Or he didn't tie the animal down. It was in the, leaving an animal in the street, that's no shmir. You leave it in the house, but it's slightly open. You just knock its way out of the house, that's a partial shmir.
Half open.
Half open, right. So.
What does it mean? You think that you're only chayav for half, but the Gemara is saying, no, you're still going to be chayav for all of it.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure what the Havamina is, that you would only be half.
Actually, Shaymer.
I guess Havamina might be...
The result is that you're entirely chayav, so...
Yeah, there's no chatinez.
The Gemara is going to explain the scenario of what exactly is going to be, I think, a partial nezek. Let's see. Let's see if the Gemara explains this. Then the Mishnah says, Nechasim she'ein lememila. The property that you are paying for has to be a property that's not, there's no mila, meaning it can't be hektish. If you cause damage to hektish, you're not chayef. Nechasim sheish b'eshel b'nei bris. Only if it's owned by a Jew. If it's owned by a la b'nei bris, by a guy, you don't have to pay back the money. Nechasim hamyuchadim. Any has to be property that's owned by a single individual, not by an entity. U'b'chamakom, and no matter where the nezek takes place, you have to pay back. Chutz, mirshus hamyuchadish l'mazik. The only place that you don't have to pay back, if it's in your property, you're the mazik. Some guy brings a terrible story a few weeks ago. A kid in North Windmere, his ball went over the fence. He went to a neighbor's house to get the ball, and the dog attacked him. And went had to go through surgery and whatnot. But they can't. You can't pay. There's no claim. It's in the other guy's property. And the kid, I think, is doing well. It's close to being a very serious injury. But either way, if it goes to the mazik's property, the mazik has no obligation to pay.
Somebody posted a gorilla.
That too also, right.
So somebody sent a joke that they show a gorilla in Eretz Israel. So they said the best way to stop the Palestinians internationally, they shouldn't attack the Jews, is to put gorillas, by the border. Because they'll care much more about the gorillas than about the Jews.
There you go. Okay, put a moat.
It's crazy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so says the Gemara further, has to be Rishus HaNizak BaMazik. Let's say it's a property that's owned by both of ours. We're partners, and my shur is your shur, but we own the property together. So that's going to be discussed a little bit in the Gemara as well, what that case is. Kishahizik, when the Chav HaMazik L'Shalim Tashlumi Nezik V'Mei Tavarets. Now, when the Mazik's property, short, causes damage, I need to pay now the full amount from the best of my land. Again, it sounds repetitive. It's a very ambiguous type of Mishnah here. It's very choppy. The Gemara hopefully will explain some of this, not all of this. Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol shechavti b'shmirasi, anything I'm obligated to guard, hechsharti es nizki, and I don't, so then I machshir myself to pay the nezek. Ketad, how is this the case? Shor or bor shemasin lecheir shot v'katam. I give my ox to a person who's inadequate to watch over the shor or to watch over the boar. Vezeko, and the boar or shor is damages. Chayv, I'm responsible. Shalim. Ma'ashein came beish, as opposed to fire, if I hand eish over to a cheir shot v'katam, I'm not chayv to pay any of the damage. So what's the case here? But my skin, what type of shor and boar and eish are we talking about? I'm chayv in the boar and shor, but I'm not chayv in eish. Elim, if you're telling me it's a case of Beshor Kusher or Bor Bechusa, it's where I'm giving him an ox that's tied down. It's tied to the house. Please watch it. Or it's a boar that's covered. Just stand guard. So it's protected. The Kavasa Gabesh, if it's a parallel case to Esh, where it's Gachel, it's Gachel, it's simply the coals, but there's no fire yet. So there's no damage. They're both protected. So Maishnahacha, why is there a difference in both cases? They're very similar cases. They should be the same halacha, which would be what? That you should be pater in both cases, I would imagine. And the chol, you should be pater in both cases. Mm-hmm. No matter who you give it to.
Right. It's Shamar Karawi.
Right.
So Ella must be a case, Beshor Mosar, Ubor Magula. I'm giving him a unleashed shore. I'm having watch over an empty boar. Just stand guard by this empty boar that anybody can walk over in the Rishus Arabim. So if that's the case, the Kavasa Gava Esh Shalheves must be that the parallel case by Esh is where there's a flame. So, Mashen Keb Esh to Pater. So, if that's the case, so if I give him a flame, I'm Pater for giving a Chayr Shot to Vakatan a flame, I should be Chayr for that case. Va'amar Reish Lakish, doesn't Reish Lakish say, Mishmei de Chizkiya, Lo Shanu El Shemash Lo Gachelas Veliba. The only time I'm Pater for giving a Chayr Shot to Vakatan something is when I give him a coal, some coals, like a Gachelas, and he blows on it, he creates the fire, then I'm Pater. I gave him something that was really unable to create damage. Aval, but if I shall have this, I give him a flame, chayiv. Why am I chayiv if I give him a flame? My time to bari chazeka. If I hand him a flame, a torch, that's very likely it's going to create damage. I would be chayiv. So this should be should be chayiv in all three cases. Bor, shor, and eish should be all chayiv if I give it over to a cheresh, shota, or kata. Right. So Gemara says the scenario is liolam bishor kasher. I hand him over an ox that's tied down and on a leash. Leash, whatever, you leash an ox. Bor Mechusa, a covered and protected pit. Utukavasa Gavesh Gachelis. Ah, so shouldn't I be potter in all cases? The Dekamra, so that which we said, Maishnahacha, what's the difference? The difference is, even though they're protected right now, since it's a shore darchel in Suke, the shore could break loose. You can't leash an ox, it's going to snap that rope. And boar darchel in ture, and also the boar, people take off the covers very easily. It's very likely to cause damage. So if I give it to an improper shomer, he's not going to guard it. If I give it to a bar hachi pikeach gadol, he'll watch over the shore, he won't break loose. I'll make sure that the boar doesn't uncover. But to give it to someone who's incapable, so then I'm really asking for trouble. However, when it comes to gacheles, if he leaves it alone, it's going to just stay quiet. Nothing will happen to it. The cheir shot of a katan has to do a maisa and to blow the coal to bring the fire back up. That removes the initial owner from any responsibility of the eish. So that's the difference.
So is that what we hold? That if you give a shor, is that the Gemara holds? That if you give a shor kasher or bar mechusa to a person, you're chayav still?
That's what it sounds like. I don't know for sure from Shulchan Aruch. I never really learned Chosha Mishpat.
Did it come later, this issue?
No, I think this is the Gemara that discusses
that's
this. Yeah. Now, that's all according to Reish Lakish, in the world of Reish Lakish. Just from the notation, it sounds like that would be Paskin from above, what we just said. But according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan now, Damar, he holds, Afilu Masalo Shalheves, Nami Pater. He says, even if you hand the flame, a torch, to a Cheir Shot of a Katan, you're still Pater. So then, the Kavasa, just like that, Hacha Bashur, Moser, Bor Magula. So too, if you hand over an unleashed shore and an open boar, so here too, that's the parallel case. So Maishnahacha, so what's the difference? If I'm saying I'm pater by giving him a torch, so I should also be pater by a shore and a boar. Why am I chayiv by a shore and a boar? So the answer is the Gemara. Hasam tzavsa de cheresh, kagarim. There it's the action of the cheresh that causes it. By him bringing the fire from point A to point B, that's his action. He walked. However, hacha, by the case in shore boar, lo tzavsa de cheresh, kagarim. He didn't do any action. He didn't give the proper shemira. But the shore went off and damaged. The boar didn't move anywhere.
So in the case of the cheresh, nobody's chayav. The cheresh is pater because he's not
bar. Exactly. I mean, the cheresh should be chayav, but
he's
pater.
He's a cheresh, so exactly. The other guy just loses.
Exactly. The other guy, the nizak, ends up being losing out. Okay, I think we should stop here because this next brisa is a very important brisa, but I think it carries deep into the next daf. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.